Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is Friday and is now the 22nd of November, which is actually JFK's anniversary date, would you believe? But it's 2024 now. The cold weather is making way for a storm, as you're hearing, and the temperatures are going to go from below zero flipping to plus 14 by tomorrow. Perfectly normal in this new crazy climate of ours. Now, this is an election-free zone for the next hour, so swim in with us for the crack. Get your chats out. The WhatsApp for the whole island, 087-032-3232, and you can email Oliver at rte.ie. Happy Friday. We have a lovely and a great show for you today. Mindful man Dermot Whelan is going to be our visiting critic for over 20-something years. He presented radio shows where he had to riff all the time about Christmas tropes for weeks upon weeks every year. So we found that we would get him out of his comfort zone by tormenting him, by having him review advent calendars, which is a huge craze, advent calendars. They used to be just normal things. It used to be just a religious festival, 4 Sundays out from Christmas. Now it's an entire craze. It was a little chocolate windows thing. And now it's gone really over the top altogether. And there are €300 makeup advent calendars. And they're very fancy advent calendars. There's ones for scented candles and Barbies and Heinz sauces, one little sauce every single day. So we're going to focus on Irish-only advent calendars, although they're still fancy, very extravagant in many cases. So Dermot has been reviewing those, and I think he's bringing some with him as well. He'll be in studio. 51551 is also open for your texts, by the way, from the south. And Aisling O'Donnell is a woman from Mayo who was sick of the 9 to 5 in an office in a big multinational over in the west, and she made a dramatic career change, which she will tell us all about. That's what's happening on the show today. Now, to the curiosities of the world out there at the moment, it's another big, big movie weekend in cinemas worldwide. You had Gladiator 2 last weekend. It smashed all the records overseas. It's opening in America this weekend. But the unexpected, enormous hit of the year looks like it's going to be the film version of the well-worn musical Wicked, which is the prequel story to The Wizard of Oz. And it follows the two witches at the centre of it, you know, before Dorothy gets involved. You probably know the story by now. It is huge. Deadline, which is a big Hollywood bulletin newspaper, it's reporting that the feature film version of the Broadway musical is expected to pull in every single woman to the tune of $200 million this weekend worldwide. And by every single woman, they say, we mean in America, because pre-sales for the film are through the roof. The movie's already holding previews. Last night, Wednesday night, in premium theatres, there's an Amazon promotion. People are singing along in the cinema, which would be not acceptable, I presume, over here. And there's a bit of a Barbie moment going on around this film. The star is Ariana Grande. So is it any good? The American film critics are gushing about it. And the British film critics are like, nah, not for us. New York Times, despite its bumps, Wicked is constantly amusing simply because it's The Wizard of Oz, and it's fun watching colourful, all-kilter characters, off-kilter characters, singing, dancing, and sometimes flying through the air without the superhero outfits and so on. The Washington Post says it's an old-fashioned magical movie about as good a musical adaptations as they get. It's more lavish than almost anything they've ever seen. The Hollywood Reporter, they're gushing about it. Variety says it's what makes a villain spin has never been more relevant, but other reviews are not kind, and that's when you go to England, and the BBC says it's a drawn out, self-important film, proves the musical didn't need to be split into two parts because this is just volume one of Wicked. It's the first act of the musical, which is the best, and the second one drags, but the second one will be out next year. And the last word we'll give to The Telegraph. Utterly exhausting and hopelessly miscast, a bloated beige screen adaptation of The Wizard of Oz prequel. Considering its signature number is called Defying Gravity, it's unfortunate that Wicked has all the buoyancy of a grand piano being heaved off the roof of St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Ah, the Brits. We don't like them because they remind us of ourselves. I may a curse be upon them all. That's the real reason, let's face it. Going to the Gladiator film, Denzel Washington is in the news. He is now apparently Gladiator 2's greatest hope of an Oscar nomination. And he already has two Oscars. But he's revealed, why is he in the news? He's revealed that December 2024 will mark 10 years since he's had any drink at all. He turned 70 on the 28th of December. Oh, he's a similar birthday to myself. And he says wine did a lot of damage to his body. So he explained he started drinking two bottles of very, very expensive wine a day after he and his wife built a house in 1999 that had a 10,000 bottle wine cellar. That'll do it. He would stop the habit while preparing to work on a film and also during filming, but immediately resume once the projects finished up, and he kept this going for 15 years. He is 70, yeah, on the 28th. He says things are opening up for me now at 70. He's a man with two Oscars. He's been like a revered movie star. But he says he stopped drinking now because he wants to live a long time. His mother made it to 1997, so he hopes that he hasn't harmed his body. And it's quite interesting because he talks about, he kind of conned himself into thinking, I'm not really drinking because I'm drinking really fine wines, and I'm only getting two at a time. And he said sometimes they cost $4,000 per bottle because he was drinking so much he went down into the cellar. But he's stopped now entirely, and he's got himself a trainer, and he credits Lenny Kravitz for saving him entirely, basically. And he's also, because he's the greatest hope of an Oscar, he kind of dismisses and says, I don't care about that anymore, because he was basically robbed by Kevin Spacey's win for American Beauty in the year 2000. I didn't realise that. He was in the hurricane, and he was robbed of the Oscar. He says he's turned around and everyone was looking at him going, oh, I think he should have won that. And he doesn't care, and he doesn't watch Oscar-y movies anymore. So he says he doesn't care anymore at all. Someone else in the news today, Angela Merkel. She left office as Chancellor of Germany only 3 years ago. I thought it was a lot longer. And when she left office, she was still very popular among majority of Germans, but basically quite tarnished because she didn't stand up to the Putin's aggression and his intentions against Ukraine. She made Germany too reliant on Russian gas. That's how they judge her now. And even on her own side, they blame her for the rise of the far-right AfD party because of that asylum policy. She opened the doors of Germany and over 1 million refugees from Syria came in. She's mostly remained out of the spotlight ever since stepping down. She's been working on this memoir that she's releasing in serialized version so far. It's 700 pages long, the book. It's translated into English. She wrote it herself. It's coming to Ireland next week. It's over 40 quid in hardback, but I do see versions in paperback for 22 euro. And there's Black Friday and all that sort of deals happening as well for the bookshops. So what is she saying in it? She's saying her first mistake was with Donald Trump, treating him as if he was completely normal. But she quickly learned of his emotional nature and soft spot for authoritarians and tyrants like Putin and the North Korean, the big lad over there. So a 700-page tome. It's called Freedom. And she says she initially misread Trump during their first meeting in 2017 in the Oval Office. I'd forgotten about this, where he attempted to humiliate her by refusing to shake her hand before the various events. And she's talking about, she basically has this crushing moment where she leans into him. So he initially refuses to shake her hand. They chat in the Oval Office. The cameras are all clicking and she kind of leans over awkwardly and sort of says, I think we should, you know, shake hands now. And he just totally blanks her, and it's very awkward for her. And she's saying on the plane on the way home, she was going, holy God, I'm in an awful idiot of myself there. And she's also quite interesting where she said she was working in the world of countries cooperating with each other for a better world, whereas Trump was just he's like a construction company leader, even when he's in charge of America, that he believes you have to compete with countries and you have to defeat other countries in order for you to do well, rather than, you know, cooperate together in the spirit that she was used to. Very interesting stuff as well about her upbringing in the former Eastern Germany as well. So that's going to be a big, big political book, and she'll be out and about talking about her views on immigration, no doubt. So we'll keep an eye on that as well. What else is going on? There's a picture of Sharon Horgan. Oh, she's on The Late Late Show tonight, promoting Bad Sisters season 2. The horrible Piers Morgan is also going to be on the show talking about Donald Trump. Yeah. And the lovely Emily Maitlis, she's on, but she is absolutely milking that flogging the sweatless horse, Prince Andrew. And Russell Kane, oh, he's a good comedian. He's also on the show as well on The Late Late at 9:35. To all the people who worship art, I think it is finally dead now because of somebody duct taped a banana to a wall and said, there you go, that's art. And they sold it for 140 grand in euro. at a Miami beach fair. And it's a fresh banana and it's a real duct tape, just taped to a white wall, no frame, nothing. It's over 140 grand and it obviously, it's called Comedian. And everyone started talking about it, it went viral. And they put it up for sale again. It sold yesterday for 5.9 million. And a cryptocurrency fella has bought it and he says he's going to eat it. Now, that'll be the third person to eat the banana. Someone ripped it off the wall in a when it was on exhibition in South Korea and ate the banana. And I think this is the third or fourth banana. And the banana and the duct tape are apparently interchangeable, that it's not the physical representation of the art that matters, but the idea of taping a banana to a wall. 6 million. And you could just say that's art, since your man put Or Mutt on the urinal, which is now in the Tate Modern Gallery in London, and said, there's art, go and have big rows about it, make it viral and it gives it value. You see, that's how it works. It's just about money in the end, sad face. Big weekend in sport, rugby taking centre stage. Of course, we're playing Fiji, the boys in green, that's in Lansdowne Road. That's coming after the close win against the Pumas in Argentina. Live in Virgin Media Saturday and on Radio 1 as well, just after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Premier League is back after the international break as well. The pick of the fixtures, Man City will be playing Spurs, and that's straight after Pep Guardiola. He signed a 2-year extension to his contract. He's now the longest serving Premier League manager out there at the minute, out in action. They're looking to close the gap with Liverpool, who are on top, and they go to Southampton on Sunday. Man United, poor old Man United, they go to Ipswich on Sunday. The club championships are still going on, really. And Formula One is coming to a close, and Red Bull's Max Verstappen could clinch his fourth title, world title, this weekend in Las Vegas. A ridiculous Grand Prix they have over there. He's only 27, and the record holders are Schumacher and Lewis Hamilton, who have 7 world titles each. He'll have 4 at 27. I mean, he's going to be the GOAT. Isn't that the correct term you're supposed to use now? The South London dance duo Basement Jacks, they are back, friends, and they are bringing back their dance carnival atmosphere to Fairview Park, Dublin, next June 2025. It's their first album, Remedy, is 25 years old this year. And here they are with Do Your Thing. 51551 is the text. Big Friday energy now. Good morning.